Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. There is a study that takes place by the Pew Institute, Pew Research Study that takes place every 7 years. I'm not sure why they designated it that, but we're about 5 years into the last one took place in 2014, so the next will take place in 2021. They did a comparison of religion or being religious versus spiritual. Now, let me define for you what the difference, according to the study. Religious being a practicing and organized faith. Spiritual simply means believe in some spiritual entity outside yourself. So it could be any kind of spirit of any sort. This research said 53% of adults now say that religion is very important to them, down from 57% in 2007, the last study. As older, more religiously observant generations die out, they're being replaced by far less religious young adults. 67% of the silent generation say religion is very important to their lives, as compared to 38% of millennials, especially those born between 90 and 96. You have anybody in here born between 1990 and 96? Anybody? You were? Okay. I was wondering if we had anybody. But the millennials, we have several of those. How many millennials do we have? Steve, what's the age? Aren't you following into that? What's the age group? Oh, did they really? You're just so special. But what are the years? Do you know? Oh, you don't know? Okay. Anyway, they're younger than us. Let me put it that way. I guess I may be part of the... I'm boomer. And I think that the silent generation may be the generation just prior to mine, which would be World War II and like that. But there's a huge difference in how we see organized or structured or practicing faith. Just 28% of the youngest millennials report attending religious services at least once weekly, as compared to 51% of the silent generation. Another way of looking at this is that only 54% of U.S. adults think of themselves as religious. Again, religious being practicing a particular faith. Only 54% think of themselves as religious. This is down 11 points since 2012, where 75% said the same thing. What I want to show, and I know the statistics are here and there and all of this, but I want you to see that fewer and fewer and fewer people are practicing their faith, a faith. And yet at the same time, more and more people are saying that they are spiritual. This reality, this is going to catch up with us. And these statistics embrace just the United States, but if you go to Europe, you will see that we are actually behind them in this degradation, if you will, because Europe has already passed over the number of churches that are closing here in the United States is on pace with those that are closing in Europe. We are offsetting in the Assemblies of God because we are satelliting and starting new churches all the time to where there's an offset. But even here in the state of Indiana, they're closing two or three churches a year. I mean, it's incredible. Why? Because people are not practicing their faith. That is, they're not seeking out the rest of the body of Christ, for one thing. I can worship by myself. Well, that's true to a degree, but the Lord would not have organized the church in the local church, which is spoken to throughout the New Testament, if it wasn't important for our lives. As a matter of fact, Paul even says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, even so as the end approaches. So there will be even more as the end approaches a continued degradation of this reality. We need to understand this. The enemy is working to separate the body of Christ. If he can isolate us and then pour on the discouragement and the tribulation and the distress, he can break us down and keep us from being effective. In our passage here this morning, the Lord Jesus, it's somewhat of a continuation. You will notice, and Michael read this a few moments ago, it says, that same day. So the same day in which he was teaching the things that we've studied the last three or four weeks, that same day he went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it while the people stood on the shore. And then he began to minister to them. There is a break at verse number 9, and the scene changes a little bit. And in verse number 10, it says, the disciples came to him and asked. So this was after he had spoken these things to the people from the boat. He left the shoreline, and his disciples came to him and asked. Let me pick up the reading there in verse number 10. Why do you speak to the people in parables? In other words, if you don't understand that, he is saying, couldn't you talk a little plainer? Isn't there a way that you could say this and more people would understand? Why do you talk to them in allegory? Why do you use metaphors? Why do you use symbols rather than just going right straight at the truth? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, he says, not everybody is going to receive the message. You know, you may think, man, you know, I witness all the time, and I just don't, nobody ever turns and gives their heart to the Lord. I don't understand it. Jesus was talking about this. He says, people will hear, but they won't hear. They will see, but they won't see. I've chosen as the title of this message this morning, The Anatomy of Spiritual Gain. The Anatomy of Spiritual Gain. Because in this passage of Scripture, here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus gives an explanation of how we gain spiritually. Now, what does that do for us? Well, it should perk us up a little bit to realize the importance of these three parts of our anatomy through which the gospel comes and spiritual life comes so that we can be quickened and ready to receive what the Lord has from us. Can I tell you this morning that if you're not growing, you're going backwards? It's true. If you're not growing spiritually, then you're going backwards. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Yeah, sort of. There's no neutral place in God. We are either moving forward to Him, we're either loving the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves, or we're not. There's no in between.
So we either love
with energy, with focus, with every part of our anatomy, or we're not. The question here, well, look at verse number 9 and 10. It's a capsulized statement of this entire passage. He says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." There is an exclusivity to the gospel. We don't like to think about this. Words like elect in the scripture really trouble us. We're really bothered by them, that the Lord would pick and choose and all of this. It is His right, His privilege to pick and choose. That's troubling. But if you don't believe me, you need to read the Old Testament, because He chose the nation of Israel above all the nations, above all the countries, above all the people groups of the world. He chose the people of Israel. If you still don't believe me, you might want to check and see the fact that we live in a country that is blessed with the message of the gospel. So much so that we take it for granted, church. Because there are countless places all over this grand world of ours where the gospel is not being preached this morning. It's not heard on the radio. It's not seen on television. Nobody is telling people about Jesus. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We need to understand that when Jesus makes this statement here, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you," that's us. Would you participate in this message for just one moment with me to say, "That's me"? Come on, get it. Let your mind grasp that. When Jesus says, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you," say it, "That's me." We need to own that. That you and I have been graciously showered upon. I mean showered upon with the gospel message. It's all around us continually. So much so that it is easy for us to take it for granted, and exactly what Jesus is teaching here will come alive within us. Let's examine this just a little more closely, because he talks about three things, and there's nothing hidden in this. This is an extremely simple message. He's talking about seeing with our eyes, hearing with our ears, and understanding with our hearts. Okay? So that is the point of this message. That is the anatomy of receiving spiritual things. Seeing with the eyes, hearing with the ears, and understanding with the heart. So I'm going to say some other things, but that is the crux of this message this morning. And look in verse number 13. He says, "Though seeing, they do not see." Huh? How is this possible? Now this whole part is a quotation from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9 and 10. And Jesus is making three powerful statements about the eyes here. First one is this: "Though seeing, they do not see." Now listen, there is a difference between seeing something and registering what you have seen. Some of you this morning are pretending to look at me. But if you walked out of here and husband says, or wife says to husband, "Did you see that tie that pastor was wearing?" And his statement would be, "I didn't notice." Even though you supposedly sat here and looked at me for 40 minutes. We have this ability to see but not see. You will be ever seeing, in verse number 14, but never perceiving. Now, some of you, how many of you drive a car? Okay, so a lot of you do. See if you can identify with this. Have you ever been driving along, and all of a sudden, you realize you've gone a long distance, and you think to yourself, "Where was I?" It's a little scary, isn't it?
Because you realize, okay, I kept it between the lines, so obviously I was seen, but I wasn't perceiving what was going on because I was somewhere else. It's a little spooky. See, we have the ability to see with our eyes, but not acknowledge with our mind what we are seeing. We even have like this subconscious ability to be able to keep our cars between the lines and do what is necessary there while our mind is completely somewhere else. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. It is possible for us to see the working of the gospel. I sometimes cannot get my head around the fact that individuals who were Pharisees or teachers of the law stood there and watched Jesus put his hand or speak a word, and blind eyes were open and deaf ears could hear, and the lame who were laying on the ground and had been there the whole life were standing strong. People who were filled with demons and tore at themselves and had to be chained up and everything else, and they were set completely free, and they completely missed the miracle. And I think, how in the world could you be right there and see Jesus do these things and miss it? But they did. I'll tell you how it happens. In the same way that you and I get in our car and drive our cars and keep it between the lines and don't hit anybody else, but our minds are not there at all. Now, we've even added another dimension, which is called our cell phones, where people are driving with their cell phones and communicating. Excuse me, but I'm very frustrated with that one. You know, like the light will turn green, and they just sit there while they're working on their phone. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. Seeing, but not perceiving. Come on, let's just gripe. And then go and do it. Verse number 15, he says they have closed their eyes. So there is literally a closing. Some of you can identify with this. You do that when I'm preaching. I know that you're praying. Except if you wouldn't snore while you're praying, it would really help. You know, it's hard to see when your eyes are closed. Everybody close your eyes for a moment. Some of you are cheating. Okay. How many fingers am I holding up? If you can tell me, you've got your eyes open. You can open your eyes now. Come on, wake up. You see, in order to know how many fingers that I'm holding up here, you have to have your eyes open, right? Well, now see, make the spiritual application that Jesus was making. He says, you see, but you don't see. You see, but you don't perceive. You close your eyes. Often we do this to the need that exists. Whether we do it physically or internally, we close our eyes to the need. We see someone who is broken. Someone who is a mess. And all of a sudden, you know, our mind wants to latch hold of that. I should do something about that. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. Well, and then your mind starts taking it in another direction. Well, they probably deserve to be where they're at, or they probably are this, or they're that. Anything to close my eyes to the need that exists. Now, can I take it one step further to say that same thing happens to us when it comes to spiritual progress, spiritual gain in our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, shows us in the Word a step that we need to take. We love to go, I don't understand. Oh, I read it, but I don't understand. Will you take the time to study? No. You close your eyes. If I close my eyes, it'll go away. And maybe I won't be held responsible for it. The Lord is wanting to move us forward. The Lord is wanting to take us forward in our journey. He wants to bring gain to us spiritually. But we have closed our eyes. Open your eyes. Jesus, I'm thinking of, remember the Samaritan woman at the well? After Jesus has his conversation with her and the disciples are coming back from the town with the food. Everybody with me? You read your Bible, Adam? Much to know that? Okay. Jesus makes this statement. They say, Lord, here's the food. He says, I have food to eat that you know not of. How did he get food? And then Jesus says to them, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white, ready for harvest. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. You know, you say, guys, you got your eyes set on this food right here, but coming from this town are people who are lost and hurting and begging to know me. Lift up your eyes. Harvest is coming. You see, I can stand up here and rail and tell you that Jesus is coming. I can read it to you and you can read it from the Word of God. And then close your eyes and go on with life like nothing's changed. Hello? Jesus says, though seen, they do not see. You will be ever seen, but never perceiving. That is acting upon what you see. You close your eyes. I don't know. Second thing in the anatomy of spiritual gain comes through hearing. With our ears. Look at verse 13. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Again, Jesus acknowledges the power that is in our ears to gain spiritual truth. The ear is an important part of gaining spiritually. Jesus mentions 12 times in the book of Matthew, he who has ears, let him hear. Sometimes I want to say that here in the sanctuary. If you have ears, hear. It's important. Faith is achieved and built in our lives through hearing the Word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Faith is built. The stuff that you and I need to face tomorrow's problems, the Lord wants to give us today. To equip us, to enable us to face what's coming down the path this week. Some of you, I can guarantee in this number of people, somebody will have something happen in their life this week where you're going to need the help of the Lord. You're going to need what the Lord is trying to give to you this morning. If you have ears to hear, hear what the Lord is saying, because He's wanting to gift you with the help and the strength that you need, His Word for the moments in your life. I never realized the importance of hearing until I lost mine. You know, some of you know this, others don't. I'll rehearse it once again. I had surgery on this ear. They removed everything in there, went in deep, took part of my brain. Careful. Yeah, so I have no hearing at all on this side. And because I'm almost as old as Larry, I'm down about 10 to 15% over on this side. So that means actually I only have about 35 to 40% of hearing. Everything changes with that. I can't play sounds. In other words, when I hear a sound, I can't tell you where it's coming from. I didn't realize that the Lord gave us two ears so that it would enable us to play sound. But that's the reality. How many of you have hearing in both of your ears this morning? Let me see. All right, you need to stop right now and say, thank you, Lord. Because when your wife or your husband or your kids holler at you, you can tell where they're at by the transfer of that sound. Because God made us that way. He put an ear on each side of our head and enables us to speak. Now, see, I got in trouble 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night because two people spoke at the same time. My wife, very important person, and someone else in the room. I heard them both at the same time. And I told her she was wrong. Out loud. Because I heard what the other person said at the same time. So then I heard that I was wrong. That one came in loud and clear. Understand that the Lord gave us these ears so that we can hear. And yet, we don't. Jesus brings this three important observations. Once again, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. We can associate with this, hearing but not hearing. Any married person in this room can associate with this. They hear their mate talk. They may even nod their head, but they're not really listening. Come on. They may look right at the other person, but think about the next statement that they're going to make or about something completely different at the very same time. Can I get an amen? Some of you won't cooperate for anything, will you? You say, well, if I remain uncommittal, I'll be okay. No commitment. No, it's true. We can look at somebody, we can hear and not hear. And it's tragic for relationships. It is. If you practice that all the time, it is a tragedy for your relationship. Your relationship breaks down. And can I tell you, when we do that to the Lord, it's a tragedy to our relationship. How does the Lord speak to us? He speaks to us in our hearing. What's going on here today is God's attempt to put something into your life. I'm not saying that I am God. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us through His Word. But we have to hear it. I would be afraid to know what all you're thinking about besides what I'm preaching this morning. Why do I say it? Because it takes work. It takes work to stay engaged, to hear what is being said. And it starts, you know, when you walk into the room, and I'm not being critical for those of you that are studying in the back. I know you're back there for all different reasons and all of that. But it does begin when you walk into a room. I have people tell me all the time, Pastor, I have to sit up front because if I don't, I get distracted by what everybody else is doing. That says to me that that individual is at least going to put forth some effort to try to hear what is being said. See, we need to understand that we set ourselves up to not grow in the Lord when we set the conditions for growing. The farther that you are away from the speaker, the more empty seats that there are in front of you, the more that you become distracted, the more things that you bring. I love children. I love little babies and everything. But when they brought into the sanctuary and mommies and daddies concentrate on them and they have everybody around them concentrating on them, they've not only robbed themselves, but they've robbed everybody around them with the most precious thing in all the world. Those are our babies. But you see, we set ourselves up. You have to be very careful. I know that many of you have your Bible on your phone. But how easy it is to flip over, push the button, whatever, and bring up emails and whatever else and do research, whatever these guys are playing with down here in the second row. It's got all of them extremely entertained, see? anything to block out the message, right, guys? I mean, you know, what the pastor's saying, it's all just words. It's all just words. What we got to understand is this is the way that the Lord wants to grow us. We need to become aware of what we're looking at. Hello? Oh, yeah, I don't have time to study the Word, you know, because I've got to watch the television for 6 hours every night. Huh? I know, I can't help but get close to where we live on this, because this is the truth. This is what God has for us. He wants to move us along. He wants to show you things in His Word. He wants to show you things in His world that will take you forward in your life. He wants to speak things into your life, but you've got to hear Him. Faith is built. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of the Word of God. It is the truth of the Lord to come and plant in our lives. But you've got to be listening. He says, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. Folk, it is a dangerous thing to come week after week after week after week after week and hear sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon and never grow and never change and never move forward in the Lord. That's a dangerous thing, because we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And every word that He has spoken into our lives will be recorded and will be taken into account in our lives. It should be producing fruit. We'll get to that in a moment. Ever hearing but never understanding. They hardly hear with their ears. And He's talking about spiritual things. I would venture to say we could go person to person in here. And we could say, what, you know, what's really important in your life? Where do you spend your time? And one after the other, you would state things that just take up hours of your time as you put them before your eyes and listen to them with your ears, because they are important to you. How important are the things of God? Spiritual gain comes through the eyes and through the ears. But now I want to take you to the parable that Jesus gave and to His explanation of the parable. Because now He talks about understanding with the heart. Look at verse number 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around Him that He got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As He scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. If you go over to verse number 18, Jesus gives the answer or the explanation to what this means. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. First of all, let me make note of the fact that the word that is used for heart here is cardia in the Greek language, or the original language of the Scripture. And it, in our world terms, would take in the mind. It is the center of human life, the seat of desires, the feelings, affections, passions, and impulses. The heart or the mind. We need to understand what He's talking about here. So in other words, the seed is planted in the mind, or it is trying to be planted in the mind, but the mind is hard. I call this fallow ground, hardened ground. The Word of God will not reach you. The Word of God will not change you. It will not benefit you if your mind is hardened. Ever have somebody try to convince you of something that you do not want to be convinced of? maybe somebody who is of a different political persuasion, and they come with all their arguments, and they're going to change your mind. And before they ever start their argument, you say to yourself, I don't care what they say. I'm not going to change my mind. I could have been really mean and said this about a marriage, too, because this happens there. But we'll talk politics here, okay? You can harden your mind. You can say, no, I don't care what argument that you bring out. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to believe it. We do the same thing spiritually. The Holy Spirit comes and tries to speak to us through the Word of God. Our spirit is pricked. Our spirit is crying out, this is for you. Make an adjustment. This is for you. Move forward in the Lord. And the mind goes, nope, not going to happen, not going to happen, not going to happen, not going to happen. Here, let me think about something else. It's kind of like, you ever seen somebody go, na-na-na-na-na-na? Huh? Not going to hear, not going to see, not going to acknowledge, not going to think, it's not going to get into me. Do you realize that on any given Sunday morning that people all over the sanctuary are doing that? They're just not making any noise? It's not going to get into me. Holy Spirit comes, pricks the spirit. Somebody goes, oh, but it's going to cost me something. Oh, it's going to cost me some time. I can't do that. No. And we shut it out. Who loses? We lose. Spiritual gain is lost when we refuse to let it into our minds, into our heart. Look at verse number 5. He says there, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Look at verse number 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those are often people who shout a lot. We don't have any problems with that here in church. Everybody's really quiet. People, yes. Oh, that's right, preacher. Yeah. Yes, that's right, preacher. Yes, that's right. Quickly receives the word. Quickly. Yes, that's right. That's truth. Yes. But no change occurs in their life. No roots are put down. Nothing is drawn by the Holy Spirit. Mind is not changed. You may not even realize that something's happened until trouble and persecution and struggle come along. You know, folks, we need to thank God for the trouble that comes to our lives. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens on this, but we really do. When persecution, when struggle, when tribulation comes to our lives, we should say, thank you, Lord. Because it is at those times that our faith is tested and we can see how much progress we're making. Will your faith hold? Will your faith be strong? Will you come through this circumstance stronger? Or will you give up on your faith? It is at those points that you can tell whether you've been letting the Word of God come in. Because He will, if we'll allow Him, He will equip us for every struggle that is coming our way, if we'll allow Him. Verse number 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. This one's really, really huge when it comes to Christians. It's huge. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Verse number 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. I can't tell you the number of the individuals that over the years, as I've preached the gospel, who I've watched the Spirit of God move upon them, upon their lives, upon their hearts, to the point where they wept. I've seen people sit and shake and quiver because the Spirit of God was so powerful, moving upon their lives, and only to watch them stand and walk out of the sanctuary without making any change in their life. I can't tell you the grief that is in my heart when I see that, because I realize more and more, the older that I get, the more that I realize this, that the Lord gives us these opportunities for change. He gives us an opportunity to put this stuff in. Do you young folks, do you realize, and I'm not prophesying here when I say this, but do you realize that now over 80% of young people who grow up in church, hear the gospel all of their lives, come to altars, go to youth convention, filled with the Holy Spirit and everything, but when they leave home, they leave the church and they leave the gospel. It's over 80% now. To me, that's a tragedy. Pastor Steve and I, we sit and talk about these things sometimes. You know, the only thing that I have seen that will actually keep you engaged in spiritual things through those years, talking about from high school on to maybe mid-20s, the only thing that will keep you on a spiritual track is determined service. That is where you find yourself. At your ages right now, you find yourself opportunities to engage in serving the Lord, and then you continue to serve Him. If you don't, hearing and seeing will not be sufficient, because there's going to be too many voices speaking into your mind. And they're louder voices than the ones that you hear and hear. They're louder voices than your mom and dad who love you and are praying for you. To me, see, it's a tragedy. I speak to it this morning because it's a tragedy when we lose our young people to the things of the world rather than the things of God. They stop growing. They stop moving forward for the Lord, and they start absorbing the things of this world. Oh, you say, but yeah, but many times they come back. Yes, but you can testify. Many of you can testify. When you come back and you're stained and you're broken and you're ruined, and the talents that you have many times have waned and maybe even gone away because you've destroyed them with the things of this world. Praise God that you did make it back. But what about never leaving at all? How will it happen? It will happen when you recognize that your brain, your mind is soil. And everything that goes into there is planted. And whatever is watered by you, whatever is allowed to camp out there, will take you in some direction. If I feed on the stuff of this world, I will long for the world and I will want all the temptations and all the things that the world offers. If I feed on the things of the Lord, then I will want the things of the Lord. You begin to realize, and sometimes we don't realize this until we're older, that the things that are really valuable in life will take some effort. And we all want to look at the person that gets rich. You know, if something happens, they invent something, or they, you know, everything, all the stuff all comes together and boom, they get wealthy just like this. And we think, oh, that's what I want in my life. No, most people who get wealth in this world work for it. I might as well do this. It's true. If you're going to grow, you're going to grow spiritually because you have labored at it. Prayer is work. Oh, yes, there are times where you're hurting and struggling and some need in your life, and, you know, it seems like prayer comes easier because you're there weeping and carrying on before the Lord and everything like that, telling Him the same thing over and over again, whatever, because it's such a huge thing in your life. Yes, there are those times, but when we're talking about just a daily walk with Him, it takes work. But I can tell you the same thing is true with our relationships. We can have a marriage class right here. It's difficult. Sharon and I just celebrated 2 weeks ago or so, 47 years of marriage. It's not easy. You got to work at it. The easy thing would be to go, hey, you know, I don't like you as much as I liked you a long time ago. I love you more, but I don't like you as much as I did. Huh? Those things that you do, you know, they're not so special to me now. Be easy to do that. No. We made a commitment to one another. And so that means we're going to work at this. And when it gets tough, we're going to work harder. And spiritually, church, if we're going to gain, if we're going to move forward, we got to open up our minds. We got to crush our minds. We got to say, hold on a minute. This is important. I'm going to be in God's house for just a few minutes, and then I'm going to spend a whole week out in the world among all kinds of people who are going to try to badger me with the things of this world, that everything that this world wants and desires is so special. I need the Word of God to come into my heart, into my mind. Gird up, Paul says. Get a hold of your mind, he told Timothy. We need to understand, folks, that the gaining spiritual things will not just happen. You've got to open your eyes. You've got to open your ears. He talks about the hardened ground. He talks about the grounds with where the seed goes in quickly but is blown away. He talks about the thorny soil where the cares of this life and the pursuit of wealth overtake the cause of the gospel and what God is wanting to do in your life. I ask you this morning, what's God wanting to do in your life? So, well, Pastor, I don't know. Then you're not studying to know. You're not listening to know. You're not opening your mind to know. Because I guarantee you, I'll give you a money-back guarantee. Whatever you put into the offering plate this morning, I will see that it comes back to you. If what I'm saying to you is not true, that if you will open your eyes and open your ears and open your mind, your heart, to the Lord, He will tell you, He will show you where He's wanting to take you. And it will challenge you. It will challenge you to move forward in the Lord. You know, I have found that when an individual comes to know Christ as Savior, it's a quantum leap from darkness to light. Praise God for that quantum leap. Amen? How many are saved in this house? But when we get saved, the next part of the journey is a bit different. It's not the quantum leaps quite often. Oh, now when you're filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire comes down upon you, many times that's another huge step forward. But beyond those two experiences, salvation and an infilling of the Holy Spirit, allowing the power of the Spirit to take over your life. Beyond that, it's going to take work on your part to grow. We're studying on Wednesday night how to study the Bible. We're working our way through 1 Thessalonians, but we're actually learning how to study the Word of God. Some people are grabbing hold of it going, wow, thank you. That's fantastic. I'm going to use that. And others, kind of their eyes just glazing over. I have no thought of using that. What do you think? I want to be a preacher? No, I think that you want to be a Christian. You need to know how to study the Word of God. Hello? You need to know how to study the Word of God. Because the Lord wants to speak into your life. He wants to fill your mind. I don't want you to lift a hand when I ask this, but I'm asking it to you to think about, am I memorizing Scripture? Back in the year 2000, I was between churches. I finished the pioneer work that the Lord had called us to do, and the Lord had a different kind of assignment for me, and so we were in transition for about 9 months, and I was doing carpentry work. Actually, I was a project manager on building two churches, one on the east side, one on the west side of Indianapolis. I mean, I'm chafing against it because I wanted to be back ministering, pastoring, and everything, but the Lord had his timing. The door hadn't opened for the other work that he had for me. And I had to be on the job on the west side of Indianapolis. We lived on the northeast side, had to be on the west side at 6 a.m. every morning, and sit in a trailer and be there when all the different subcontractors came in. And the Lord said, take this time and start memorizing scripture. And I fed on Psalm 25. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. I can't tell you how over the last 19 years, how the Lord has used the verses of the 25th Psalm at times that I needed them the most. Not just to keep me from sin, but to help me live my life. I kind of despised that 6 a.m. thing, but taking that time to sit there and just memorize, going over and over and over and over that 25th Psalm until it got not just in my mind, but it was in my heart. And then for the last 19 years, it has been food. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior and my hope. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways, but in all your love remember me, for you are good and upright. Therefore you instruct sinners in their ways. Teach the humble what is right. Oh, God, help us to realize it's before our eyes. It's right here for us to hear. It's for us to put into our hearts so that, God, we can produce. So that, God, we can be what you want us to be. So that we can be useful in your kingdom and produce a harvest of righteousness. God, help us this morning to realize that the anatomy of spiritual growth is in our eyes, in our ears, in our minds, and our hearts. That you, Lord, you want to speak into us. You want to show us things. You want to teach us things. I pray this morning, if our hearts, our minds are hardened, maybe because we've been at this for so long, we've heard it all, may we do what Hosea said. May we break up the fallow ground. May we break up the hardened soil so that we can receive from you. Lord, you told your disciples, you said, you know how to predict when a rainstorm is coming. Can you lift up your eyes and realize when I'm coming back? Help us, O Lord, to have spiritual eyes to be able to see what is on the horizon, that you are returning to this earth, that the end is truly near. And may we get ready. I pray this morning over these young folks. I pray, Master, that you would create in their hearts a hunger to be used of you, to walk with you. May they know faith. May they know your spirit. Not because mom and dad are doing it, but because they have tasted and seen that you are good, and that they would learn to walk in you and listen to you, receive from you. Oh, Master. Help us this morning to realize how important it is to have spiritual gain in our lives. And if we don't see it, may we check our eyes, check our ears, and check our hearts. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please? I believe that there are some in this room that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know that you need to get a hold of your mind. You need to open your ears, open your eyes to what God is wanting to do. Folk, understand all that I can do is what I have just done. And that is to convey to you the Word of God as He gives it to me. You should know by now that I don't hold back anything. Whatever the Lord puts on my heart, I share it with you. I don't reserve anything. I give you what God has given to me. But anything that happens from this point forward is really in your hands. It's between you and Him.